Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk USA. Are you tired of waiting for change? Tune into Blog Talk USA. Let your voice be heard on Blog Talk USA.
Welcome, 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 everyone. Welcome right back here once again to Blog Talk USA Marvelous Monday. And it's great to be back. I feel like a stranger almost. It looks like I've been gone for a bit, but I've been out there doing some exciting things, I believe. So let's first find out who all is with us tonight. We were going to have a very, very special guest, but we're excited about the mere fact that our special guest is working with some of the students at Wiley College, and that is none other than Congressman Colin Allred, who has been on a tour of East. So we welcome him in to Tyler, Texas, and spent a couple of days with us and had an amazing turnout. And then he went on to visit with some of the HBCUs in our area. And, you know, it's really important for us to make sure that our young college students know how important they are and how important their votes are and how important it is for them to become involved in the community. I have two young college students, baby girl and baby boy, that's in college, one University of Texas, the other one at Prairie View A&M University, and they are so engaged with what is going on around them. So we're excited about that, and we're very happy that Congressman Colin Allred is into the colleges and universities and talking to young students. Let's find out who's on with us right now. Let's see, Mr. Arthur, are you there?
Hey, how are you doing? How are you doing?
I am good. Yes, I'm great. I'm great, Pratt. I am just really, really great. So what about Pastor Cooper? Pastor Cooper, are you there? Well, we want Pastor Cooper to come in a little while. I'm sure that he will be coming in after a little while, right? Right, Mr. Arthur, so that we can talk about a lot of things that are going on in our country. We actually just returned back from Chicago to see how things matriculated there in Chicago with the Democratic National Convention. And there was so much energy there, so many people that were there. Oh, my goodness. I don't have words, Mr. Arthur, in my vernacular to explain to you and our listening audience, the energy that was in Chicago. It was amazing to see people were fired up and ready to soar or ready to go or whatever, or ready to go to the polls to vote. And so they're getting ready. People are getting ready. That is it. But before we get into the show, Mr. Arthur, and maybe Pastor Cooper may be coming in pretty quickly, but I want to offer my condolences to first the family members of my classmates who I arrived in town on Saturday about 40, and then after that, I had to prepare to speak at one of my dear friends' memorial service that we've been friends since the 10th grade all the way to adulthood. We were roommates and all the way to this maturity where we are now, and she just abruptly passed away. her memorial service was just amazing. It was beautiful. And it took me a minute, actually, Mr. Arthur, to be able to sit down and write the resolution for her. I picked up my computer, and I couldn't type, so I went away, and so then I picked up my pad and my pencil. I couldn't write. I just couldn't get focused because it was such a surprise for her passing away. So then I prayed about everything in my life, everything. And so I still hadn't got there, right? And then I visualized her smile. It was very vibrant, very beautiful smile. She was a beautiful girl inside and out. And so that same smile, I saw this photograph, the same smile that I saw way back in the 10th grade when I first met her. So after that, I was able to pull out my pad and pencil and my computer and start typing. And so I got through it, and I thank God for that. So in the meantime, that's that one. Then the next person is that I spoke at one of the local pastors here, his service, Dr. Jared Mosley Sr. He was the pastor there at, and only 50 years of age, he was the pastor there at North Star Baptist Church, and he had an automobile accident, and so it landed him in the hospital for, I think he was in the hospital for 2 or 3 days, and then he succumbed to his injuries. He was an amazing gentleman, had done so many beautiful things in our community and in East Texas and North Texas as well. So he's from Tyler, went to school here and everything. But he had about 30 years of experience of doing amazing work. He had his doctorate in theology. And so he was just a fine gentleman. And so I had to compose myself to be able to speak at that funeral. And it was a beautiful service, beautiful, beautiful. And his children has children, all three of them, which are in college. And so those three young children got up there and sang, and listen, they have the same voice that their father has because he was a songbird. He had a beautiful voice, and those three children have beautiful voices as well, and they were able to sing at their father's funeral service. So it was good to be able to get away, Ms. Arthur, and go and do some different things and enjoy Chicago. I thoroughly enjoyed Chicago. The weather was wonderful from 72 to 74 degrees. And while we were having 103 and 104 here, back here in Texas and in Tyler, and I'm sure that you had something like that as well, right?
Yeah, but this is Texas. I mean, you know, I'm just glad that June. You know, I mean, I remember when it was 103 starting in June a few times. So hey, I'm just enjoying the summer.
Exactly. That's right. Well, people say, how do you guys stay in Texas with that temperature? So we get out of our car and we go inside of our house, and we are in our air conditioner, or we go inside of whatever building that we're going into, and that's how we do it. We don't stay out there in the sun, and we wait until the sun goes. Go ahead.
I got tree lines in my house, you know, in the front end and the back, so I got, you know, so my, you know, I got, hey, so I'm like, keep mine on 80. I may turn the fan on there, Dan, but other than that, hey, it's like, ooh.
Right. Well,
you ain't got no trees or nothing like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we took three trees down, and then the tornado took the fourth tree down, and it landed. I think I mentioned that when the storm hit here in Tyler, and it went down on top of my guest house, and tore down all of our fence. As a matter of fact, we went out to purchase all of the things that the guy needs in order to put the fence back up. Our privacy fence back up. So, but we're just thankful that no injuries took place.
Yeah, well, you know,
I've had
problems for the last 3 weeks myself. Now, I told you about somebody stole my car. I mean, I got it back now, but yeah, somebody stole my car
Is that right?
I got ready to go to it. I got up that morning, put on my black and gold, looked out the door, My heart was stolen. I said, now I know why they used to hang like these.
You
I know why they
your heart was stolen. Oh, goodness.
My heart was stolen, and if I would have caught him.
I am so sorry. Was it damaged? You got it back?
Yeah, I got it back. Yeah, because they tore my, ignition thing. And they stole my racket ball. My record ball. I don't know.
Oh.
I know they ain't gonna throw my chest equipment and my record. So I figured, hey, now if they use it, whoever stole it, if they use it, if they use both, I got no problem. If they learn how to play chess, they quit stealing.
If they learn how to play
they'll be in good shape. So. But now I got my car back, so I went ahead and bought me another car anyway. So I said, okay. I got two, so they still one of them. Sure, they didn't steal both of them.
That's right. Well, very good. Well, I guess sometimes you can't, and I know you probably take it out because you play with some of your friends out in the community, but valuable goods like that, you may have to leave them at home, and it's unfortunate because somebody could break in the house and get them, right?
Well, yeah. But like again, if some kids, some kids learn how to steal, because like I said, if you steal a car, and that's all you. See, I was thinking chop shop, right?
Okay,
nah.
Right. But no. They got out and sold it and got out and left it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And then I have to pay. Okay. I have to pay $250 to get it out the city pound.
Wow. Oh
it
my.
Could just break house, but they're gonna put it in the pound that you couldn't get. But anyway, so they, I'm having to get that fixed, so I'm gonna pay that out. So I go ahead and get it fixed. I just have two cars, so it's
right,
all good.
Right. It's all good. Yes. Well, that was it. So we're gonna let's see. Pastor Cooper, are you there? He's still not there. We're looking at our chat to see if in fact he is coming in. So Mr. Arthur, I believe you sent
us. The got a Democratic Party meeting tonight, but they say next week he's gonna come back on next week. So I did get
Pastor Cooper, is that who you're talking about?
No, Carr. Pastor Carr.
Oh, Dr. Carr. Okay.
So yeah, he's got a Democratic Party meeting tonight, but he's going to be next week. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Once again, we brought in Congressman Colin Allred, and so we spent 2 days with him, mm-hmm. and then he met all of the black leaders in Tyler and Smith County today, and that was an outstanding meeting with him. And so we wanted to know what he's going to do for East Texas and all of that, and his run for United States Senate. And so he gave us a lot of good information. And by the way, Mr. Arthur, today is Women's Equality Day. And so I told him that I thought that women and girls and their lives may be under threat a little bit. And that's socially and economically and every way socially. And so we have to make sure that women and girls are protected and all of that. So that was a good conversation. But on yesterday, the League of Women Voters, we're a nonpartisan mm-hmm. organization, so we had a panel discussion, and it was outstanding talking about the issues that women endure on their jobs. And mm-hmm. And how they're able to adjust, or how they're able to address the issues that they experience during their mm-hmm. their work and their workplace and everywhere that right. of their day lives. And so it was quite wonderful. We had the former mayor of Tyler, the only female mayor that we've ever had, was one of the panelists. Our newly elected city councilwoman, Ms. Petra Hawkins, was mm-hmm. on, and the young lady, she has a very unusual name, so everybody calls her Yo, but she is Asian, and she was on, and then an educator who was mm-hmm. African-American So it was Asian, a Caucasian, and two blacks. There was four on the panel. And it turned out beautifully that we had it at the public library, and the room was filled with people who are interested. They want to know what's going on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a hard question, but I was at a softball fest.
What was that, Ms. Arthur?
Did anybody answer any hard questions, or was it a big softball fest, you know?
No, it was no softball fest. It was detailed questions, serious questions. They said, one said, I get the hardest of the questions. it was funny. But everybody knew what the questions were. Go ahead.
Who said that you did?
That was the former man. No, I was the moderator, so I was asking questions. But it was the former mayor that said that she gets the hardest questions. but everybody knew the questions. That questions were sent ahead of time so that they can dissect the questions and decide what it is that they wanted to say in regards to the question. So it was not like it was a surprise to them. Mm-hmm. They knew exactly what was going to be asked. They didn't know which ones were going to be asked of them. So they had the opportunity to take a look at all of the questions. But at any rate, it was really great. But the actual day of Women's Equality Day was today. And so one of the questions, Mr. Arthur, that we asked was, in the 1900s, or 1775, really, and then we went down the line to paint the history of Texas and of the United States, and how it came into play for us women to finally be able to vote in the 19th Amendment to the Constitution. And then, of course, talk about the 14th Amendment, 15th Amendment, how black men were able to vote, and how long it took for women.
Did y'all talk about how Sweetie Anthony betrayed y'all? Did y'all talk about that? You gotta be glad I wasn't in the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, right. There was one guy there. The rest of them were women. And the young man was the songbird. He actually entertained us. Has an amazing voice. He's a student Iowa High School. Go ahead.
No, I didn't need to be there. I was kidding. I didn't need to be there. Yeah. Go ahead.
No,
I didn't. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing I can tell you is that the Delta Sigma Theta sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, had an intricate part of working with the Susan B. Anthony and Ida, whatever her last, the other one's
I'll
last name was.
Ida B. Wells.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that led, was it Ida B. Wells?
You said Ida B.
Wells. That was Ida B. Wells, a black woman. No, these were two Caucasian women that led that suffrage movement. And then our sorority, as a matter of fact, Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority's leader wrote a letter to the government in regards to the suffrage movement. So the Deltas and the AKAs were very intricate parts of the suffrage.
I wouldn't have been doing that for so.
Yeah.
So
that's very, very true. Mm-hmm.
Harriet
very Tubman
made the way.
Yep.
You see.
Yep. So we had a former professor D. Pendleton, who was a college professor, now she's retired and moved back to Tyler. She laid it out from year to year of what transpired during the suffrage movement all the way up to the 19th Amendment. So she did a beautiful job in laying that out and educating people who were not aware of just how things took place back in the day.
Let me ask you this. Did y'all talk about that was in the context of the moment that we're in right now, in America?
Yes.
Context?
Yes, sir, we did. Absolutely. Okay. That was one of the key things that we want to bring out. Whereas we have made progress, when it first started, we were not able to vote. Now we are. And so we progress in some other areas, but considering today is the actual day for Women's Equality Day, we know that we still have a long ways to go when it comes to equality for women and girls in this country. Go ahead.
If I sent you something, one of my attorney buddies sent me this bank vote Texas check where you can check your registration. Now, also,
yeah, I want to talk about that.
And also, mm-hmm. Yeah, and also in the DML, I got a thing from Austin to go to Participation Center and giving me a form. And so anyway, if I went on the thing, I used one of them. And so, you know, and they see my vote by that name. Now, say the average and winning kicked off by 1.1 million people off the road. So
that's right.
We're going to have to really figure what that, that is. And folks need to, go on high alert and, start a check your voter registration program.
That's right.
You know, like I sent you that link. So I shared it on my social media page. But, hey, y'all, check it out. The man, they're doing that stuff they're doing in Georgia. They've set up a system where Miss Mamie J down the street, she got this list of people, and she can just go say, well, don't even know you. Can just say, well, I don't think they got a ballot, and challenge whether you're there. You know,
right.
And then you got to go. He did it or not. I mean, I'm just saying, shouldn't that be illegal? Is that illegal? Is that voter suppression? Should that be?
Voter suppression. We have to recognize when we see voter suppression, we have to turn that in. We have to call the Secretary of State's office or the votertexas.gov.
What if it's the governor doing it? But it's the governor doing this. It's the governor. Who I go talk to? It's the governor.
Yeah. We still have to report things that we see, and we don't.
Okay, I'm gonna report him. I'm gonna report him to him and see what happens.
No. There's other. He's not taking those calls. And there are some people who really, really are wanting fair play, even in Texas. There are people, that's why, and here's what we really have to do, Mr. Arthur, and we need more people doing this. We need more people working in our polls, and it's never enough to cover all the polling booths throughout Smith County, and I'm only talking about Smith County now, and so we're always out there to make sure that everybody's vote is cast. Go ahead.
I'm trying to Eddie here. Okay, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this thing now. Okay, now I'm trying to figure out who exactly is this? Because it's you know anybody named Tom Lopak, president of the Voter Participation Center? Now, what is that? That's not an official government. That don't sound like the state of Texas.
But there's a lot of organizations. Remember that are not all. That's what I'm talking about. That there's a lot of 501c3 nonprofit organizations. There's PACs, political action.
I take it back. It says Election Division, Office of the Secretary of Austin, Texas.
Right, Secretary of State.
So they send me a voter. They send me a voter registration form, and then somebody else sent me a thing. Telling me to check my thing because evidence kicked off over a million people. Now I used one of them and it didn't come back. So, I'm take the other two. I think Abbott might then kick me off.
That's why people have to check to make sure that they are on the roll. They absolutely have to do that. And then we need more people, more VDRs. We need VDRs at every one of our churches. And so every Sunday morning, all the way to election time, that we have to make sure, or all the way until they can be registered, which is 1 month out prior to election time, that they have to. We have to be on our job. We have to be on our job. We really.
It says it don't have my name on it. It has current resident, right?
Oh,
so,
is that right?
Yes, that might say, and it comes from Austin and got current residents. So yeah, I think they, I think I've been hacked.
Hmm. Well, the only way you're gonna know is go in there and go. You already have the link. You know what to do.
To the county. Should I be able to go down to the county and find out? I should be able to call the county and find out.
Yes, you can. But you can also, you can your party affiliation, and they can take a look.
The county sent me a card this year, so I'm gonna check and see if I'm still up with the county. So I'll check the county. I'm not gonna fool with this. But this might be where they might been challenge me or something.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure that
Jim Crow was bad. Jim Crow Jr. just as darn bad.
Mm-hmm. That's it. It's still, listen, nothing has really changed. It just looks a little different. And so that's why we have to keep on our job. Go ahead.
How many jelly beans in the jar? Except for how many jelly beans in the jar, you got this stuff right here going on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what we were talking about today with the congressman, that things have changed, but they look the same, and the outcome is voter suppression, stopping people from moving forward, not increasing the pay scale. So women make less money than men still, and they may be doing a job heavier than what the men is doing. So that's what I mean.
Let's be clear about voter suppression. I don't want nobody pretending that voter suppression just started. Soon we got the 1965 Voting Rights Act, voter suppression started the next day. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So folks, don't think that, no.
Right.
The fact that black folks have to have the Voting Rights Act upheld every 25 years or so, that tell you right there what the deal is.
Exactly.
And, that's oppression. Because what they do, when they didn't pass it, that's what we got. Then they tore it apart in the Supreme Court.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah.
So,
that's right.
The only thing they do is just expand it and make it for anywhere in the United States. If that happened, they have to go get pre-clearance. That's the only thing they have to do. They won't do that.
Right.
They just knocked it down. Hey, y'all go fix it. And then the Democrats, they've had majorities, and they still ain't fixed it. So we're going to, they got the shot coming up. Oh, yeah, look here. Let me ask you something. Now, if we're in this moment that we're in now where, we got the Pamela Crush Rush going on.
Right.
We got a lot of Republicans coming to vote with the Democrats, which is one of them dreams that them Democrats been having forever, right?
Right.
Now we know back in the 40s, Democrats, Republicans switched suits. Now, I'm concerned that after this election, a lot of them jokers ain't going to want to go home.
Okay.
They're going to want to stay by the Democratic Party.
They have the same job, right?
Huh? So what now?
Which persons are you talking about?
I'm saying that these Republicans, these quote Republicans, Trump people that have come over to the Democratic Party, to vote against Trump. I'm saying that after it's over, we got Kamala in. I'm saying I'm scared a bunch of them ain't gonna want to go home. They're gonna want to turn the Democratic Party into the Republican Party.
No, that's not happening.
Okay. Well, yeah, right. We just got through with Trump, and you're going to say that ain't happening. Really?
That's not happening.
Baby,
I'm going to tell you, Arthur, you serve the United States of America. Division in this country. And that's why we can't. And when people talk about an aisle, and that means separatism to me. Why are we dividing ourselves? We're supposed to be united, not divided.
Remember, we're not talking about right now. We're talking about a year from now. I'm talking about a year from now. I ain't talking about right now. It's love. It's love fessing. But I'm talking about a year from now.
But look how long we've been talking about the same thing. So all I'm saying is I'm talking about all the time. I'm talking about now, next year, and forevermore. And because we know what it's been in the past. And I remember when I was running for Congress, and I campaigned out there and said, you know what, I serve the United States of America. I serve one country, and we're too divided. And on one side of the aisle, we got Democrats.
I'll be more plain then. Do you think, and I'm just asking you the question, do you think that a year from now, you think that they will be, these folks I'm telling you about, the ones that I'm concerned about, you think they'll be willing to give up
the Republicans from Kamala Harris?
The one that got the racism is over here voting with us now. You think they'd be willing to give it up a year from now?
Give up what?
Give up the system that gives them privileges. Give up the structure. Give up the infrastructure, racism in America. You think they'll be willing to give it up? That's what I'm asking. These people that's coming over here vote right now for Kamala, former Trump votees. So I'm just saying, you think a year from now, you think they will have changed their hearts? I mean, me and you can be good. You know, we still going to be loving people. But I'm talking about, they feel in the joy and the love right now. I'm saying
maybe they'll change the way they vote. If you're talking about elected officials that are voting for her, if that's what you're talking about, they don't have a position anyway. What they gonna give up?
So what now?
They don't have a position. So what are they gonna give up?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, I ain't in the back rooms. I mean, I'm not back there for money change. I mean, I don't know.
We know there was a lot of white dudes that they call themselves. For Kamala, we know how much money they raised, more money than any of the different organizations or the different groups, I should say. They raised more money than anybody. Some of those were elected officials, but the bulk of those people were regular citizens out there in the community. And so they don't hold an office.
Those people right there, they pretty much are, I'm talking about these billionaires with this money. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about them.
How many billionaires have joined in to support her?
A bunch of them did. I look what happened. Okay, like the whole thing with Biden. The last 3 years that California cabal, they tried to kick Kamala off the ticket. Then when he wouldn't go for it, then they kicked both of them off the ticket. And of course, the AKs took care. But I'm saying,
Those were Democrats.
And what I'm saying is that group right there, I'm saying that.
Nancy Pelosi.
And I'm saying that they got if you think of a Democrat, Republican, the Venn diagram, the two circles, they overlap. You see that?
President Obama.
Yeah. And that's where all of them are. They're up in that little thing right there. And I'm just saying, I hope a year from now, if they been had a change of heart. But like I said, he had to go with the flow because Biden put him on the spot. Nancy gave Kamala 7 days. You got 7 days. Of course, she flipped it in 2 days. didn't take seven.
She didn't need 7 days.
She needs 7 days. But, yeah. but, 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 ball right there, the La Calpoinca ball, you know what I mean? You know, they got them, and I'm saying it, that group right there, them know what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, them.
So let's listen to some of the, let's just listen to the DEI piece that Vice President Harris had to say. I'm going to play that and see what you think.
Has put in force. I obviously know you disagree with that. I obviously believe that you don't want him to get a second term. That said, if that does happen, what do you think that would do to race relations in this country?
Well, let me say we're going to win, so it's not going to happen. But I think that, listen, we today is actually, I believe, an anniversary in terms of Dr. King, right? And I was just in Selma, and we celebrated it, well, acknowledged the 59th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. I think it's really important that we as Americans always embrace our history.
You're talking about DEI.
The parts that we're proud of and the parts that we're not proud of but that we can't forget. And we should all agree that we should teach history. We should learn history if we're to ever have an accurate idea of where we want to go. And
okay. I'm sorry. I cut it off.
Or we don't. And that means also acknowledging the importance of diversity. It means acknowledging the importance of that everyone should have equal opportunity to compete and equity. And then, of course, inclusion, that, you know, hey, let's look around the room and see who's not here and did we leave the door open?
That's right.
I may not be black, but I'm God's child. Hey, and when I saw that man calling up with mama, I thought about my mama. What I kept thinking is, you must be seeing her already. They're still not letting her.
Yeah.
They're not letting her come. So I'm here to tell you, we will march as a department with everybody in this community. I will march until I can't stand no more. But I will not, I will not allow anyone to tear down this city because this is our city. And don't pay close attention. These little white guys with their skateboards are the ones that are starting all the shit everywhere. No one's doing well.
Okay. A lot going on in this country, Mr. Officer. Oh, goodness. pay close attention.
Okay, dokie. All right, well. Everybody, as Fannie Lou Hamer said, Francis said, is this America?
Is this America?
No, is this America? She said, yes. This America.
Yeah. And it is. And that's what we were saying yesterday. Whereas we've come a long way, still have a long ways to go. We got a long way.
Oh, yeah. Because we ain't there until we get there.
We're not there yet.
Until we get there, we ain't there, y'all. So, you know, ain't no, you can, on the way to Damascus or whatever. Check out that burning bush.
There you go. That's it.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
You got to keep moving.
We cannot give up. We still have to fight for equality for all mankind. And let me tell you, I thank you for sending our Pastor Cooper, I believe it was, who sent out the material on the stature of our beloved John Lewis, for which all of us loved him dearly. And now he stands there where bad people that took lives used to stand.
Who they take down and put up there?
I don't even know. I didn't read the article. I've been tied up all day long. So at the end of the show, I pull out and start reading and see what's going on in the world. But I don't know. But we know that it was a Confederate statue, and it came down, and his statue went up.
You know, talking about the Confederate assembly statue. I did a lot of that work around here in Dallas. You know, got some Six Flags changed there, so made them five flags. And they got five American flags flying now. What's the name of Robert E. Lee? You know, got him out. Then that Confederate president got him out, Davis. And so, yeah, I had a big old downtown. So anyway, what I'm saying is that a lot of people didn't want me to do that. They didn't. Well, you know what? It don't bother me. I said, well, if it don't bother you, then I'll not bother you if it ain't there.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it bothers me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, so basically,
right.
Even when we do this work, you know, there's a place for those stats. They need, you know, put them in a park somewhere, and you can have kids come through. You can teach about the evils of America's past, and you know, so
right.
You don't have to repeat it. And you know, put it in perspective.
Sure.
But the you know, folks say, well, you know, when you tear that down, you're tearing down history. Really, if I sign a contract with you. Under the staff of Martin Luther King and Harriet Tubman versus Robert E. Lee, you know what I mean? That's
okay.
A whole difference.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It makes
right.
A difference. And then that you can't teach you nothing. Well, you know what? Look here, Robert E. Lee, when we did that fight, they suggested that we put Harriet Tubman or somebody out there by him.
Right.
And then people can from. I said, nah, we ain't to know. Ever since that man. Now I'm going to insult one of my stuff by putting her out there with, really?
Right.
You know, so anyway, we're saying that, you know, that symbols do matter.
Sure they do.
You know, we need to understand what some of the symbols are that's all around us every day, and we don't know that they're around because like those symbols, people so used to them till their attitude was, it don't bother me, not understanding.
Right.
Symbols have energy. Symbols have spirit.
Sure.
You know? So, you know, and they put stuff out. So you got bad symbols. You know, you don't see no bunch of Hitler statues running around Germany. You know,
exactly.
It changed the whole atmosphere of Germany, right? You know, and the reason I got the city to do it, because I told them, because they were running how they, you know, we're an international city. I met with the mayor, and I told him, I said, well, I said, now, you can't be saying you're an international city and you got all them Confederate things around here, you know, da, 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 you know, and, you know, and he agreed, you know, he knew that one, you know, so yeah, and the other side did. He's saying that, hey, you know, we got to understand that those symbols create an atmosphere. And, that's why they need to be out of public.
Yeah, they do. But we have to keep in mind, too, there are a lot of people that are not. They're not well-versed in those areas. They're not well-read in those areas. So perhaps if they knew that history, then it would bother them to see those statues, you know?
Yeah, and they don't know the history. Why? Because it's not in the schools.
And so
when you indoctrinate it into not knowing, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know. Look here, you don't even know you ain't supposed to like it.
No, you. There you go.
Watching Tarzan growing up, you know, stuff like that. And then like Tarzan, you know, he have all the, you know.
Okay.
So anyway, you know, people say, you know, if we put up a Tarzan, it's a mountain. It's not, you can't be, you know, when we look at those movies, you know, they tell. So now, you know, it ain't Spain with cowboys and Indians. They tell us now we need to be rooting for the Indians. You know, I'm saying, you know, when you don't know, you don't know. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we got a lot of folks who just don't know. And if you don't know, then, you know, and the folks that do know, you know, they're going to test your knowledge. And when they figure out you don't know, then, hey, they got you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know. But it's good, but we're all working hard. It's a great opportunity. We got a new world. We're coming toward us. Kamala Harris is the face of that new world we're talking about.
Right.
And, you know, we've been talking about this on your show since I've been on it. Walk like it, talk like it, be like it, become. You know, well, here we are, y'all.
Here we are. Here we are.
We've arrived.
Yes. But Mr. Arthur, it is amazing to me the energy that Vice President Harris has brought to this country. And I can tell you that the people were up and down and up and down. They were stomping and clapping and, oh, my goodness, from the hallways to on the inside. There was no seats. Every seat was filled. There was media everywhere, probably 25 or 30 media outlets. I interviewed with probably about five different companies that I didn't even know where they were from. I know one was from Germany, and they were just from every place, and they were running behind people trying to get their interviews and get what they thought about what was going on and what you thought about President Obama's speech and what you thought about Hillary was the she was the bomb. I mean, she and Michelle were outstanding with their. Go ahead.
The thing about Kamala and her vice president, you know, like both of them love themselves. They both love themselves. They both like, you know, they like themselves. And then you can emanate love, right? You know, because, you know, just by being. Whereas if you run against a bunch of folks that look at them, you know they don't like themselves, neither one of them. You can fail.
And
the vibe they give off is like, ugh. You see what I'm saying? Ugh. And so by her being her authentic self, and she picked a great vice presidential pick, you know, and the operative word is joy and love. Love is a powerful thing.
Right.
And so
I think we
need to see how we can, because this is a chance for America to, you know, it's a third reconstruction. This is actually an opportunity for us. I wrote about that in one of my articles. This is the actual opportunity to position, have some old attitudes and everything else, put America back right where everybody will have, you know, basically equal chance. You know, take that money speech thing away from the corporations. You know, you got to do that first. They need to de-do them. And like I say, and a few other things, get the abortion stuff straight, you know, that folks out of privacy again. Like I say, once they do certain things, give folks an actual opportunity and quit going around starting wars in all these countries. You know what I mean? That ain't, you know, just about corporate profit. Stop doing that. Nobody makes, you know, we're not making no money off that. You know, we've got to go. The people in the world don't want to be fighting. The people don't want to fight. But it's these corporate people with all this money, all this power, you know, they can start a war whenever they want. So I'm just saying that we need to, but the technology is fixed the world, that the people is catching up. And now, you know, I think we can have more power than we had just by knowing, you know, what they're doing. So they can holler war. Well, just like, you know, now this is my greatest fear, and I hope she don't do it, because if she do, I'm be against her. Don't be trying to send no American troops over to Africa and be trying to take over nothing. Leave them people alone.
You said to Africa?
Yeah, to Africa. So leave them people alone. Leave them alone. You know, the French still want to get back out. Over in Europe right now, the white folks been kind of went crazy a little bit. It kind of reminded me of sort of, I mean, you know, they not killing people, nothing like that. But it kind of sound like that Red Summer thing. So it's a lot of Africans leaving because, you know, back to Africa, they say that, you know, they being verbally attacked by, you know, about white folks over there now. And so,
one of my friends left and went home, and he's been gone now for 3 months, and I tend to think he can't get back out of there, because another one of my friends went home to, let's see, where did they live? I can't think right now. But they were robbed while they were there, and they said they were never going back home. And then threw them in jail. And so it took a lot for them to get out of jail. They took all of their money, they said. Their kids had to send their boys. They have two boys, and they had a girl. All of them were nurses. They started, the family started, even the mother was a nurse. They started a home health care agency.
What
about Europe? No, I'm talking about Africa.
Oh,
Nigeria.
Okay.
Nigeria. And I'm really
concerned. Yeah,
Tinubu. I'm sorry?
Tinubu, that president that they got in Nigeria, sell out. I'm telling you who he is.
He's been gone for five months.
He sounds like one of them. He found one of the evangelical priests. He went and bought, let's take that, Nigeria. They got, like, you know, got still need everything. Then he's going to buy a $111 million jet and fly to France.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Dirty.
So we got a lot of leaders over there. Again, neo-colonialism, period, where still in. We got a lot of leaders that are like him that still setting out them people. It's just sad. It's just, ooh. It's just sad to look at, you know. But there's some fighting back. You know, there's some action going on. But, you know, man, you know, and what I'm hoping Kamala will do, I'm hoping Kamala will open up more of an opportunity for us African Americans to invest in Africa going forward. So I'm hoping that she'll facilitate some of that. Going forward, there is, you know, there are folks that, you know, deal with now. But you remember I told you about I did that thing up here in Dallas where they had the Chamber of Commerce and after meeting, you know, so I went and interviewed some people at the event and come out. It was like basically, it was like they should have called the CIA meeting. But anyway, it was basically the government meeting with black folks that they brought over here, that's over here. And basically, they're setting up what they're going to be doing in Africa. And I was telling them, I said, well, you know, when I interviewed them, I said, well, don't you think that African-Americans ought to be, it ought to be African-Americans and Africans? And I said, she said, you know, she said, I hadn't thought about that. She said, well, I'll bring that up. You know, but I'm just saying, this was going on. And this organization, look at and this relationship, or I did the research, they've been doing this since 1997.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, there's 6,000 of them right here in Tyler, Texas, and they said we have no intentions of going back there to do anything. And that's their home where they were born and bred and came, and they said we got out of there, out of Nigeria.
Yeah, because Tinubu set them up. The president I'm telling you about.
I understand what you're saying. I understand. Mm-hmm. And then I went to college with them, and I think I've mentioned that on this show before, that I went to college with them. There was three of them that was at Texas Women's University back there, and they came on to Tyler, and now there's over 6,000 of them and they have a massive organization.
Mm-hmm.
Their agency, their physicians, and nurse practitioners, and college professors.
The sad part is they got more riches. All the 6% of the world riches is right there where they.
But they didn't get any of it. They didn't get any of that.
The quote, my boy. Cash and buckets, where you are. Mm. So, you know, and I'm just saying, you know, like, they got some deep stuff right there where they at. And they just got to do a little bit more fighting. You can't run away from them. I mean, come on over. I ain't saying no quote, but I'm saying, you know, don't come over and ask me why I'm not rich when you just left all the riches over here.
They certainly will ask you that. There's no reason why we don't have more than what we have, according to them.
Yeah, that's the same thing we're saying about them. Y'all got all them minerals and stuff. Y'all letting folks just walk out of that with them. So I'm saying, you know, not developing yourself. You know what I mean? You know, playing the game.
They don't have the freedom that we have here in this country.
No, no. Yeah,
because
they got,
here, listen up. No, well, I'm going by what they say, okay, because I don't know. I didn't live up with them. I didn't live around them. But what I'm saying is now that they have come to America, they may have more money than we have because they own businesses. They are doctors. They are nurses, nurse practitioners.
Right.
They are college professors right here in Smith County in Tyler, Texas. They're doing outstanding financials. They own businesses, own home health care agencies.
Well, let me just give a look. Okay, what I was saying. Basically, you know, I look. Okay, Africa ain't America. So let's get that clear.
Mm-hmm.
Africa ain't. Africa's a developmental state. It's in between. You know, now they're figuring out that they need to be developed industrially so they can, you know, do their own thing. And so they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that. But that's where they at. Okay. And in the process of that, you got people like Tinubu, ECOWAS, and all like them. Was doing the French bidding. Now they got this thing going on, trying to get out under that where they can be totally independent, where they can do their own thing. So I understand, when they come over here, yeah, they don't want to deal with that chaos that's going on over there, you know. And then when you got him doing stupid, like buying $100 million planes, you got people starving you. You got people need all this stuff. So you know, so he got bad leadership, you know. And so based on the family, they got to work through that. Another young man had beat Tinubu, but he did some kind of shenanigans, and then he wound up winning again. So I'm just saying that, you know, it passed those kind of leaders. And some of the countries are already moving past those kind of leaders, but if they move past those kind of leaders, let me show you something. Okay, like Kenya. Okay, you know, they're trying to do this thing, you know, over in Haiti. Now, in that whole process, guess another one of the things that Joe Biden and them want to do with Kenya. They want to put HBCU up in Kenya. Now I'm going, what? And then somebody told me that they got one. I think somebody told me that they got one in Ghana. And I'm going, they ain't gave you the money for the one over here. Why would you be trying to put one?
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, we're talking about putting a HBCU in Kenya, and then all that stuff broke out.
They're not black colleges, but they are black. They're the only ones going to those colleges, and black Africans.
You give out black colleges that $12 billion that we ain't got, you know, and then you start talking about going somewhere. But until then, you know, no, that's game. You just want to use that.
If you go and Google, they've been getting money. The HBCUs, as a matter of fact, the person who heads up HBCUs for President Biden and Harris is my sorority sister, who was actually the president of Tennessee State University, Dr. Glenda Glover, and she is the one that's dispersing the monies out to the HBCUs. Mm-hmm. And I think that she's also going to be able to continue that job under Vice President Harris.
And I know they're giving them money, but I'm talking about this $12 billion pulled out of Biden, you highlighted, where $12 billion is owed to the black college system that's been denied, that's still money that's still there, that's supposed to have come to the universities and so forth that they never got. And I'm saying they need to get that money, $12 billion. And I'm talking about beyond what you're talking about, what Biden did. Biden went in and found it and then told everybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying $12 billion is old. And then they run a game like they're doing in Tennessee. You know what I mean? You know, folks start coming to HBCUs, and then you want to expand, and then they want to go and take over the money.
That money was used for the forgiveness program of some of these students that came away with those massive debts after being in college.
Now, I'm talking about that Tennessee legislature that went in on them. That's what I'm talking
about. Are you talking about Tennessee State?
Yeah, I'm talking about that. Yeah, I'm talking about that legislature that went in Tennessee State.
Yeah.
About that. You know what I mean? And that the same one that been denying them the money that they was owed. And then when, they saw they were going to have to start giving them the money, then they decided they're going to take it over. They want to take it over. You know, you got them fools down there in Florida now. You know, since that guy, you know, that knucklehead on the stage, you know, to my head, $200 million he's going to give them. Some, you know, turn out he's a fraud. Now the Panthers over there all up in Florida in business.
The $16 billion with a B dollars was allocated back in May of this year. And Glenda Glover was the person in charge of that. She was actually, I think she had already retired at that particular time, I believe, but she was the one who worked for the Biden-Harris campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the one that was dispersing money out to the HBCUs.
Yeah, but
getting rid of those large
legislature trying to take it, though. I mean, they still trying to control it.
Look here.
You can throw some money at me, but if I can't get to it, you know, yeah, you get credit for throwing it, but I didn't get to get it. You know what I mean? And I'm just saying that this kind of program that we're in, you know, when we come out these kind of, you know, anytime we get any kind of a critical mass of economic anything, I'm telling you, the system cranks up and come and snatch it. I'm just saying. It's just the way it works.
That money went to, that was during that COVID, during the COVID thing, that American Rescue Plan, that Rescue Act.
Mm-hmm.
That was the money that you're talking about, right? And that was during COVID. And that money went to the Department of Education, which is what Donald Trump is trying to get rid of, the Department of Education.
COVID money, the government sent it, and they never gave it to him.
There's plenty of people that got that money that should not have gotten that money.
Well, I ain't talking about them. I ain't worried about them. I don't care about them.
That was money from people who should have gotten the money.
Yeah, and I can name the town, Fort Worth. And I can name who put in for it, Reverend Tatum. I don't know about them people that stole the money, because a bunch of them stole money, white and black and everybody else.
But I'm talking about
how our community get treated when big money show up. That's all I'm saying. When big money show up, happens.
I'll tell you this much. A lot of those people that got money, or some of the black people here in our community that got some of the money.
Marjorie Taylor Greene got some of that money too.
Understood.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. A whole bunch of people got some of that money.
Yeah.
And the folks caught the most heck was the ones that got the littlest money, I bet you. Because that's the way it goes.
Yep.
Oh, you stole a little money? Oh, we're going to get you. We're going to spend a little.
Yep.
We're going to steal.
There were people buying new cars. They were paying off house payments. That money was not earmarked for that. That money was earmarked for keeping up your business and keeping your business going and paying employees who worked for you that the business was no longer running. Go ahead.
They put an accountability system on. They just dumped it out.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have no accountability system. And they did it on purpose because they knew their friends were going to be up front in the line stealing. They knew that. That's why they did it like that. Because they didn't have to do it like that. I have to do it like that.
Well, it went to specific agencies, and then they applied through those agencies. And the Department of Education was one of them for those people who had large school debts. Go ahead.
Oh, you forgot. Here's how it went. And it's where the game was. They sent it out through the banking system at certain banks. So if you had to hook up with this certain bank, then that's where you guys, because I know some folks when they got the money, right? It was hooked up through the bank. So it was, I'm just saying. And there was no accountability in it. One guy I know got the money, right? He got the money. And after he got it, because it was so easy, right, he was scared to spend it. He was scared to spend it. He said, oh, no, this might be some kind of trap. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that's how structured it was. So when you dump out money like that, you know people are going to do what happened. And I said, again, and I think that was just, you know, there was a chance of giving his friends some more money. Because if you got hooked, if you didn't have no relationship with no bank, you weren't finna get none of that money. Only people with relationship with banks could get that money. So that tell you right there was rigged, the way they had it set up.
Yeah.
So, you know. So I'm just saying.
Right.
But that's where we are, and that's the system we're in. So I'm just, you know, I try to tell people, hey, look, you know, operating system with good faith, and hope everybody else do, but we got to understand that there's a certain amount of rigging in it. It's rigged. If you've been paying attention to anything the last 4 years, you know, you got three different legal systems, you know, the wealthy, the billionaire people, they got one system. Poor people got another system, and then black people got a system. So we got three.
We have three.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, tell me those three again, then. A white system, a black system, what else?
Uh-huh. Well, we got the billionaire class. That's Donald Trump. You're watching that system now.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what you do, you keep it moving. And then we got the poor people system. Yeah, that's what the poor white people there. That they all have been able to, and then we got a black one, and then we got a black legal system.
Mm-hmm.
So we got three, at least. We may have more than that, but I'm saying, those three that I know we have.
Right.
And we see them operate. You know, where it's like, well, you know, light skin, dark skin, you know, so you know, economic compact. So you know, but they three different systems though. So
right,
I'm just saying that, you know, now we, and so I'm saying, people paying attention, then you know that. That's rigged, and it's rigged around race. So it's rigged. So we can just operate in from that, you know, perspective. You know, I know it sounds trite, but you know, stay out of trouble. Just follow your good mind. If you know something happening, just move. Go, just move. You know.
Yeah.
Don't let nobody. You know, don't take no rap from nobody. Again, like I say, you know, just focus on yourself and say, hey, if you see trouble coming, just go on and leave, you know, follow your best mind.
Your common sense or your wisdom,
You know, folks say, well, why are these black people why are they catching all these black people? Because they're looking for black people. If they were looking for white people, they find white people. But they ain't looking for white people. So I'm saying, so you gotta know that. You know, like when the police stop you, you know,
right.
just know to say as little as possible.
Okay.
Little as possible. You know, don't let them bait you with it. You know, because some of them come out with a gruff thought on you to try to make you. You know, just say as little as possible. Get your stuff. You know, and then just keep it. I've been stopped by the police. I mean, I can't count the times in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But ain't never went to jail. And ain't none of them never beat me up. Now they have, when I was in Houston one time, God watched over children. I'm in third ward, going up the police, and they had this, because like I said, they was killing gang members. I wasn't no gang member. But anyway, you know, so they pulled me over in my 6.5 Impala, and they, you know, because, you know, you inside the back seat, so they took my back seat out. You know, took all my stuff out front, and well, by that time, a big crowd started gathering. Hey, what y'all doing? They said, that's been a mess over me. And the crowd, right. and so the crowd gathered. And then as the crowd got there, they went on and, you know, went on and got in the car. You know, and I had to put my darn seat back in the car. You know what I'm just saying?
Wow.
You know,
wow.
Again, you know, incidents like that, I mean, baby, let me tell you something. Look here. Somebody looking over me, that's all I got to say, because, yeah, because they was, yeah, because they kill you down there, throw you in the bayou. So, set you up to change to the pen. So I'm just saying that we went through all of that. We went through 99 years for a joint, right? You get a, if they cut you with a joint, 99 years.
We talked about that today as well. And he talked about legalizing marijuana.
And now they
legalize
making
remove everybody out of prison that's ever gone to prison for that.
One night down in Houston, the worst cop I ever actually met and dealt with was down in Houston. But anyway, a friend of mine, because I was going to go on a court report in college. But anyway, so I was hanging out with some friends in a fifth ward. And so, and they had a club. So, you know, we've been out, you're shooting pool or whatever. And so it's like about five. So he said, well, he said, let's go by my house. Okay, so we all leave. We have to go to his house. We walk outside, pop up everywhere. You know, kind of like the Steve Wonder album. You know, hold it. Against the wall. And then, you know, my partner Roots, he had a gun. He was twirling it. He didn't have the bullets in, but he was twirling it. He flipped out in the weeds. They looked for the gun. After about 10, 15 minutes, they couldn't find it. So Rufus started complaining. Man, y'all need to let us go, man. We ain't did nothing. I said, be quiet, man. Man, we ain't did nothing. I said, Rufus, be quiet, man. And then so the cop say, he said, you need to listen to him. He said, we just want to take you down. He said, we could have took you down. He said, when we was looking through your wallet, he said, I could have put this off, and I hit a joint stuck on his ring. He said, I was going through your wallet, put that in there. And then he took us around to the back of his car, opened up the trunk, and he said, because one of the guys had a 45 bullet. So he said, we know you had a 45. He said, we know it's a 45. He said, if I want to take you down for a gun, he opened up his trunk. He had about 4 or 5 guns laying in the trunk.
Wow.
And Roof got quiet.
Wow.
And then they went on. Now, that's another instance where they could have took all of us down. You know, I mean, I ain't telling what would happen. But I'm just saying, you know, I've had them kind of encounters. You know, of course, you know, after you have to go through that, you know, you learn a few things, right?
Sure.
First of all, you know where you're at, right? You know where you're at all times. And just know that if you do get in them situations, hey, don't go outside yourself. You know, just stay within yourself and just see what happens. You know, but don't get to know, you know, da 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 da. Yeah,
right.
So I'm just saying. You know,
right.
So we blessed. I'm here tonight.
Yeah.
So I guess I must.
Yep. You're on the right track.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this $64 million question. Considering all of what went on this week, considering that Kamala Harris has raised almost
$600 million.
No, billion. No, she's
raised.
Oh,
yeah, no, it's
close.
I'm wrapping.
$600 million or so, working her way up to $1 billion.
Right.
So we know that money is important in campaigns and all of that. And but what do you think the chances are for her winning that seat?
Well, look here. Kamala's going to win. I mean, she's only going to win. She's going to win because we're going to stay with, the level of intensity that we have right now. We're going to keep this intensity all the way through because I think everybody is sufficiently. I think one thing happened. One thing she symbolizes is this: once she became president, with her black skin,
Right.
All the plans they had went out the window. Because now we're doing global black skin. Right?
Okay.
So then has global power to it. And so the bottom line of it is, after Trump and acted so bad and totally ruined white men's leadership persona.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Now,
right.
And that's what she's coming in with, the feminine energy, right? You know, but she's powerful. You know, we've had powerful black ladies in our past. And so, she's a powerful black lady. And so, but beyond that, she's talented. She's qualified.
Yes, sir.
She's qualified and talented. And so, I think that, my thing is, what I'm looking for, I don't want folks to get upset when she don't get a honeymoon like Obama got. Obama used his honeymoon and hers.
Right.
So she ain't get one like he had.
I'm gonna tell you this. There was more excitement with her and President Obama's. When he and Hillary was running against each other and the next time around for him, and there was more excitement in this time than...
But I think, Obama, and tell if I'm wrong, Obama, we didn't have, when I look back on it, we really didn't have high expectations of him.
Okay.
We were so back sitting in that seat, and we didn't want to hurt his chances of being black in the seat. And we didn't put nothing on him, to do anything. Now, Kamala, on the other hand, I think Kamala is actually saying, I need y'all to put some pressure on me so I can do something. That's what I get from Kamala. Now, I might be wrong, but that's what I'm saying from her. I think she said, just do it to put some pressure on me so I can do some things. Because, see, Kamala got opposite, they asked her about reparations, and her answer was this. Although I do have a reparation plan, she said, basically, whenever black people get something, I've said this on the show, whenever black people get something, everybody get it. I can tell you that when we get white folks, don't get them too. Watch.
Everybody always benefits from everything that we do.
Exactly, and it goes to that. When I said about voting rights, Title IX. White folks, y'all didn't have that, but we got it. But we got
that.
Y'all didn't have it. So whatever we get, and so for the black folks that I hear the time they were saying, why every time we get some, everybody get it, and I have to explain to them. Because before we got it, they didn't have it.
Right.
All they had was a privilege. That's all they had.
Mm-hmm.
They never had it. So, and I say, you have to understand that when you look at black people, you want to see how much freedom you got in America, and there's anybody in America. You want to see how much freedom you actually got? Look and see how much freedom black people got. That's how much you got.
Right.
That's how much you got.
Yeah.
So how much you get?
Well, we're going to make sure that we got all we deserve and all that we need. We're going to make sure that we have the same that everybody else has.
I hate that. I feel like I know what you're saying. But they ain't got it. If we ain't got it, they ain't got it. So they ain't got it. We just need ours. We just need ours. They gonna get theirs when we get ours. So, they need to be over here helping us get ours. What need to be going on?
Right. Okay.
They need to be helping us get ours. So, because they know they gonna get it.
Exactly.
Including reparations. Martin Luther King talked about. Then we talked about that guaranteed income. It's trying it out here in the United States. Somebody doing it, I think doing it in St. Louis, and then somebody doing it in California. And that's what, if you want to stop crime, if you want to stop all these social things that be going on, guaranteed income is how you do it. Why would you have people just out grinding, hustling, and I mean, I see more white people over here on the black side of town begging since I've been living.
Okay.
Yeah, up here in Dallas, over in Oak Cliff, white people begging in Oak Cliff. And I'm going, wait a minute, does that supposed to be in North Dallas?
So funny. They're probably not getting anything there.
Well, black folks, you know, we're going to give them some. Yeah, we're going to give them a little something. Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. But I'm just saying, you know, and I'm saying that they know that. That's why they over here.
Exactly.
They did one show on a guy out in North Dallas where he would, like, sit there, and they get a TV thing on. He leave there, go across the street, put his money in the bank, and then get in his
Get
his truck
and
drive.
Right.
Get his truck and drive. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the way y'all do it.
That's the way they do.
Okay. But no, it's about giving. If you ain't got it, don't give it. If you don't have to give,
okay,
and that's your blessing. If, you know, don't give away your blessing trying to get a bigger blessing.
Well, I think that this is the beauty of her campaign, is that she is looking at the greater good for every single American. She wants to fight for everybody.
Exactly.
But she wants to do it on an equal footing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have that
opportunity. Malcolm said, America, he said after he traveled around all around the world, he said, America is the only country that he thinks can have a peaceful revolution.
I agree with that.
And so
I think we're
at a point now where we can have a peaceful revolution.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it's going to pop up, but it's going to pop up. But it's really about the people deciding that that's what they want.
If
that's what we want. We're in a different age now, so it's harder for the powers to be to manipulate us because of technology now. So it's
more
information. The major news corporate news people, they don't have control of narrative. We can talk about what's going on in Europe that they're not talking about on the show, right? They telling you, the gas prices up, they down, somebody got shot in Chicago, so they're not telling you nothing about the global stuff. So I'm saying that we're all connected. So it ain't like we over here in America, just over here in America. It's people all over the world be dependent on us, whether you know it or not.
Okay.
They be dependent.
Right.
My black folks.
Right.
A lot of people we're dependent on, they depend on us. They say they got culture, but they ain't got no self-esteem. We got plenty of self-esteem, but no culture. So we can hook it up where we can put them together. We're going to have something.
Right. Okay. I'm excited.
I am too.
Yeah, very, very excited.
I am too. I mean, I'm just saying. But I'm excited because I think the people get it. And again, this is an opportunity for the racist. But bless your heart. This is an opportunity for you to give it up. Just give it up.
Right.
You didn't know you was miseducated too, just like we were. You was miseducated. All I got to say is Jesus is back and he is black. That's all I got to say.
And how about that? He ain't never left.
He has returned. Remember, y'all, he left. But he said he returned, so he has returned.
He died 3 days later. He was crucified on the cross, but rose early on Sunday morning. Early.
Well,
died on Friday evening. Rose on Sunday morning.
Well, all I'm saying is that all this all you people that it didn't make no difference what color he was, and I need you to remember that now.
Well, we already know from a child. My mother taught us as a child. I never shall forget. My mother used to stand us up, and because she was our Sunday school teacher, and we'd have to read and study our Sunday school lesson on Saturday night, get all of our clothes ready, laid out, so that all we have to do is, if we took our shower at night, she put us all in the bathtub at night. And then the next morning, breakfast, brush your teeth and wash your face, wash up. And as they would say, get ready to wash up so you can have breakfast. But in the meantime, if we used to have something Mr. Arthur called, when we come into the sanctuary, we would have, it's like reporting of what we learned in Sunday school. So we had to stand up and do that. And so if none of the other kids in the class wanted to do it or would do it, we always knew that my mother expected us to give the high points. Mm-hmm. That's what it was called, high points, right? And so early in that, we learned that Jesus had woolen hair. I mean, it just made up characteristics of what he looked like, and we knew who had woolen hair, and the hands were rough style, and we like I said, we knew long
like,
as a child what he looked like. So that's that. But anyway, you're right. A lot of people are just now learning, right?
For you to be somebody to be into that, and then most black folks, they say, we're still that, but like, because I post online, a lot of white folks, they be going, nah, what happened? And again, because they don't know, so they trying to figure out, you mean they lied? You mean somebody lied?
Right.
And so, I hope our kids, the next generation of kids, don't have to go through that.
Right.
Our kids just like, except in slavery day, back in slavery day, they let you play together. I think you're about 10 years old, and then they separate you. But now it's like you kind of grow, everybody grown before you realize what the deal is, and then everybody's still acting. So I'm hoping that if we get this history thing straight and get the truth out where people can go ahead and deal with that, then the next generation won't have to, haul that baggage around. Our black kids won't have to walk around feeling inferior. White kids won't have to walk around feeling guilty because of something.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So we need to, we need to pass that on to our, to our next generation where they don't have that burden. Otherwise, they're going to be hollering about the same stuff we're hollering about.
Right.
So hope the camera can hear that. I mean, I know a place for it.
Exactly. Yeah, our place for it. Yeah, we got our work cut out for us.
We got to move kind of fast.
I'm sorry, say again?
No, sir. Yeah, sir. We got to move kind of fast, y'all. We got to move kind of fast.
We got, what, 71 days left? Something like that?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yep. And check your registration. All you haters, let me give a PAC Act shout out. And again, you guys, you military peoples, particularly Vietnam veterans, spouses, their wives and families, you can apply for funds under the PAC Act. Okay? So you can also apply for PAC Act for you wives, you widows, veterans. You can go to the VA and you can sign up and you can get your widow benefits. Okay?
Right.
So go get your widow benefits. Like, okay, I'm working with a homegirl of mine now, down in my hometown. Now she's in one of those facilities down in my hometown of Ennis. And I remember that her husband, you know, I said, okay, yeah, that's right, Willie was a veteran. So now I got her sister working with her to get her benefits now. And what I'm telling her is that, and so instead of being in that facility, she needs to be in a nicer facility, or she can, you know, or she can get her own place, just have the services come in and, you know, help her out, you know, whatever she needs. You know, but she'd have her independence is the main thing. You know, more of it, you know, as far as, you know, doing what you want to do. So I'm saying that the benefits are there. For you guys that may have signed up for benefits years ago, and they gave you that last years to the point that you don't want to fool with them no more. They've changed the system. They've hired a lot more people. The whole system now, they use a presumptive model, so you don't have to go find all your stuff. They'll pull it up on the computer. Now the total process takes about no more than 6 months, where it used to take years. Now it takes months. You can call it Texas Veterans Association, the Texas Veterans Association. They're separate from the VA, although they do have an office over in the VA here in Dallas, but they're separate from the VA, Texas Veterans Association. You can call them up, set up an appointment. Just widows or vets, set an appointment, go in, and what they'll do is they'll pull up your stuff, file your complaint for you, look at all your stuff, roll your stuff, file it for you, and then they'll send you a letter, and then they'll have you sign something to say that they can represent you. And then after that, you know, you're in the system. But then you just kind of work it. You just kind of work it from there. Now there are agencies that the system, if you get kind of stuck, where you can because I use one of those where it got me from 30 to 70, right, which got me to 100. So again, there's ways to. And, oh yeah, also, you veteran that's over 70 years old, you're a veteran over 70 years old. And even actually before 7 years, actually, you can apply for unemployability.
Not unemployment,
like you're at the unemployment office, that ain't the same thing. Unemployability. So once you pass, if you're not working, then you can unemployability.
I have employability.
Huh?
I have that.
Okay, yeah, I do too. So, so I just want some information to get out. I've talked to different veterans, but it's up to you to make it happen. I can give you the information. I can lead this. I can lead a horse to the water, right? Make them drink, you know, but basically, here's the water. Just go ahead and get your money. You know, and I know a lot of folks need it, and they just don't know that they can get it. They just don't know.
Well, they don't know about it, and that's why we have to do a job of getting that information out there to the people, right?
They will.
See, all these things before I don't know about you, but before I got out of the military, when it was time for us to get out of the military, they sent us through all of the programs. This place from the employment section to benefits section, they just went down the line to see, and we saw all these people We saw the people that that had our life insurance policy. If you wanted to make some changes before you get out, because once you get out, you cannot make any changes on your life insurance policy. So, and then
about people that stayed in there for 20 years, are you talking about us grunts that they just showed us? Here, that door is right there. See?
Oh, everybody. There were some people that did not serve 20 years. Yeah, I did. And there was others that served 20 and more. But I'm talking about everybody went through that.
Well, they maybe didn't have all that stuff when I was in. Maybe they just didn't have it.
They had it. I believe they had it. Yeah, they had benefits back then because if they wanted to see if you had an allotment that you were wanting to increase your allotment to your children, or you wanted to if you had education, like I had 92 hours worth of education, and I only used I enrolled in my undergraduate for political science and the master's program for political science. And otherwise, I had all those hours left, and I didn't know. This I did not know is that before I got out, I could have added my grandchildren to it. But once I got out, I couldn't add anybody. So I didn't find that out until after I had been discharged from the military. So all of those hours went away.
They wouldn't let me go. Okay. They would not let me go when I was in there. Take this out. It was another brother of them in my unit.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to college. They let him go, but they wouldn't let me go.
While he was in the – yeah. There's plenty of people taking classes right now.
So I guess they must have done as a lifer, I guess.
I went to every military school – except War College. And the only reason I didn't go to War College is because I injured myself and I was going to be getting out of the military. War College, if you want to look toward becoming a general or a full-bird colonel and moving up to that point. But that's I went to Command and General Staff School. I went to all those schools, OIC, Officers Canada School, all the way up to, like I said, up to War College.
My biggest thrill, I think and it wasn't a thrill until years later I found out it was a thrill. But anyway, I was in Texas, through the Air Force Base in Illinois, we were like, the riots would start on Fridays, okay? And end up on Sunday. And anyway, so basically,
you said end up on Monday. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Anyway, General Chaffee James, first like came down. Yeah, he came down and he talked to the brothers.
Okay.
So we was down. And of course he had on his civilian clothes. Yeah, he didn't have on the brass or nothing.
Okay.
So he was telling me when he came in. I know he was a Tuskegee Airman. Okay. So he came in and told me about what they had to go through and so forth and so on. He basically gave us a pep talk. And it was years later that I read. That was Chaffee James. Oh, okay. That was the general. Okay.
Right.
I knew he was a general, but I'm fresh off. I don't know nothing about Chaffee James. No black general, nothing else.
I knew about Chaffee. And I don't know. I wasn't in the military at that time, and I knew about it.
Well, you got to understand, I was chopping cotton.
You chop cotton in cotton.
Yes.
Did you chop cotton
real? I'm Martin Luther King. I am.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I got you.
But anyway, that was a great thrill for me. Looking back on it, and I got to go speak at the school over here in South Dallas. One of your sorority sisters, invited me for career day a few times over there to speak to the kids because I had met Chaffee James. I got to tell them a little Chaffee James, Chaffee James story to them. And they just hyped.
Excitement. Well, you excited these kids. You're showing them what they could become and what they can do with their lives. That was outstanding. There is one other. I'm going to switch gears. Talking about elections, there is one of my sorority sisters who is running for United States Senate out of Delaware, and that's Lisa Blunt Rochester. She came to Dallas, and we did a fundraiser for her. She was a keynote speaker for, I don't even remember the organization, but ended up with a fundraiser afterwards in one of the constituents' homes there in the richy part of Dallas, Texas. And so she was there at the convention center, and she says that the momentum that's going on now is that we're going to be able to ride that all the way to election.
And yeah,
just what you were saying, right?
That's real. That's again, you know, we want to. These moments like this, they don't show up that often.
That's true.
I say the last time I kind of remember a moment kind of like this, I guess probably Obama. Okay, so this ain't bigger than Obama to me. This ain't bigger than Obama.
No.
Well, it is bigger.
No, this is bigger than President Obama. It's big.
Yeah.
You didn't see all of those movie stars and all of those people that were there. You didn't see Republicans switching over to support President Obama. You didn't see it. It just didn't happen. I mean, the people, there was as many people outside that could not get in as there were inside, probably. Large numbers of people everywhere. And they bust us back and forth from our hotels. Go ahead.
Black Republicans, look here, Black Republicans for Kamala.
The Black Republicans in Smith County in East Texas is the one who called a meeting and invited me to that meeting and asked me to run against Louie Gohmert. It was the Black Republicans here in East Texas.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about right now, the Black Republicans for Kamala Harris.
The Black Republicans were
supposed to
kill her
in East Texas. Shirley, first of all, you're not down in East Texas, you know, I know a little bit.
That's very unusual for East Texas
but you're not the average black politician down in East Texas. You're different. You're not the average, is what I'm saying. You could have been, you know, I'm sure some people probably trying to figure out, wait a minute, don't that kind of, because you want to try to make everything work. You know, they're trying to figure out, is she a Democrat or a Republican? You know, I'm not surprised people do that for you down there. I'm not.
Right. Okay.
I'm not surprised. I mean, you know. But I don't know if I can stand there that they do that. Well, I can't make nobody else down there if they do that.
I can tell you this. I was invited to speak at a lot of the Republican events, and I have these little bitty senior women right down here in deep East Texas, Republican women, and excellent cooks. And, I mean, I just thoroughly enjoyed going to their meetings.
Oh, come have some
speaking.
Of that food now.
They can cook, okay. But here's the deal. This is what they told me. They said, well, we like everything that you have to say, but we can't vote for you because you don't have an R next to your name. And so I said, well, in the military, we serve all people. Not a party. Yes, I'm affiliated with a party. However, when I served in the United States Army, I served all people, and that's what elected officials are supposed to do and or should do. And that's what I would do if, in fact, I became elected to Congress. But
mm-hmm.
I'm where I'm supposed to be. And that's how I look at that whole piece, right? I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, you have to go through.
That's it. You're right. You're absolutely correct. To get to the other side. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally pleased. I'm looking forward to running for mayor next year. Looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay, so you don't want to say nothing about the restaurant. I don't want to press you.
Oh, yes. We're going to get ready. So, we're shooting to try to get the restaurant doors open. We're working on hiring people now. We're ready to rock and roll. We just need to get some more employees, and we need some bartenders, and we need all of those things to make that happen. So we're trying to kick off in September. We're hopefully and prayerfully that we'll be able to kick off. We've already started to purchase and stocking our counters and cabinets and things, and so we're working on. We actually have done that, and now the final thing that we need to do is purchase our meats and things, and then find more staffing. And so that's the little piece that we're working on. We just need a few more people to help us. It's taken us so long to get those doors open that the people that we had that was going to be working within the system had to go ahead and find them other jobs. And I understand that fully.
You're going to be okay.
There you go. I firmly believe that. I do. And so that's where we are with that. So we'll be working hard at it this week. Well, Mr. Arthur, I always enjoy our dialogue and everything. It's 9:59. So any final comments that you want to shoot out there to the people about what they need to do to get ready for this election?
Hey, y'all, just stay focused. We got a chance to change a whole bunch of things. But the main thing is, change starts with yourself. So change yourself. Just change the way you're thinking. And then let's go from there. You ain't got to slap nobody. You got a motion right. Just change the way you're thinking.
Outstanding. Very good. And then my final comment to them is that make sure that you're, as Mr. Arthur says, make sure that your name is still on the roll. And then take 5 people with you. Start with your own family. You can do this. And those people who are registered to vote but have not voted, and that has caused us to be a non-voting state here in Texas. So get out to the polls and vote. Don't just register to vote, but get to the polls and vote, and vote early. And so that's our final comments. And now we're going to turn it over to Ms. Brown, and we look forward to seeing you all on next week. And join us on A View from the Top this Thursday on KGLD FM 104.9 and AM 1330 AM. Thank you, and we're going to turn it over to Ms. Rihanna. Bye for now.
Good night,
Mr. Arthur.
One day when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh,
smile for every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Thank you and good night, and we'll see you on next week. Have a safe and wonderful rest of the week. Bye for now.